Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Didman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
Back in studio today, Mike and Leanne are on the phone. Later in the show, we will be sitting down to interview, or I will anyway, Carlene Varian, who is a top spokesperson and strategist with the Liberal Party, to talk about the internal polls, the Obama endorsement, and how they are feeling going into Monday's election. We're 5 days out, or is it 5 or 4 days out? And I don't know about the two of you, but has this been the nastiest election that you have ever seen unroll in your young years? I can't think of an uglier bunch of things that have happened this election or in any previous election as I have this one. I mean, we've had allegations against the prime minister, the blackface incident. We've got conservative trolls and bots who are polluting the social media channels. We have Chinese voters being misled by the conservatives about the liberals being willing to legalize hard drugs, which, as an aside, is a great public health policy, but it has no reams of no breath of truth to it from the conservative side. I don't know. How do you feel about this going into the last 5 days, Leanne?
You know, I think all elections are nasty. And when you're in it, it seems like the nastiest one you can remember. But also, I think Mike made the point a couple weeks ago that social media has amplified everything now, like where these people used to be raging and ranting in their basements or wherever, or in my case, in my office against Trudeau. They're now able to go on social media and stir other people up who are like-minded. So it seems louder and it seems more amplified. But I do think elections always get ugly. But this one has certainly been eventful. Like, I kind of thought it wasn't going to be that eventful, right? I thought the SNC-Lavalin thing wasn't really hurting Trudeau. And then blackface happened. And that has hurt him, I really believe, in cities like Toronto. Like, I do know that people in my little progressive circle were thinking of stepping away from Trudeau over the blackface thing and going to Singh. But now that they see how close it is, they're reassessing that maybe they're just vote for Trudeau just to stop Scheer. So it's been a much more eventful election than I thought we were in for. And I agree it seems nastier. I'm not sure it's that much nastier than it always is. But anyway.
Mike?
What do you think, Mike?
I mean, the social media thing, I think, definitely plays a factor. But I think there's a few things involved here that, for one thing, it's really hard to kind of judge anything when you're living through it, right? So, like, when you look at an event that's happened in the past, you can kind of play a backseat driver to it and say, well, if this didn't happen and this did. But when you're living through something, it's harder to look at it objectively. But what I'm kind of seeing here is people seem more willing, like on the political side, to do things because we're almost desensitized by how bad it's been down south. And I honestly think that the political climate in the United States has factored in our election, where nobody talks about decorum anymore because we're so used to it not existing.
Yeah.
And with social media and, you know, with, you know, like a politician is more willing to call someone stupid, for example, or say, you know, this is an act of stupidity. They wouldn't have done that 6 years ago because they would have been called callous or lie. Right. We know that people can get away with it.
A lot of lies have been told. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's endless lies, and the conservatives have used American troll farms down in the United States, obviously, if it's America, to pollute the airways. Like, no doubt about it that they have been playing dirty games.
Hold on, though. Let me finish here. I think that this is on more than one side. I don't think we can throw all of this on the conservatives. I think that the liberals are also releasing things through their media sources that will hurt the other side. And another thing that I'm noticing in this election more than ever is that certain media are clearly, you know, I mean, look at, I never would have talked ill of the Globe and Mail 5 years ago, but now the Globe and Mail literally putting on their front page ads calling for the end of Justin Trudeau, right? So it's the battle lines are drawn and people have retreated to what they like. So if you're a progressive, you've retreated to, you know, the Toronto Star is flying their flag, or then you could go to the National Post if you're on the other side. And it seems that nobody gives a shit anymore of pretending to be fair and balanced. Oh my God, did I just quote Fox News? But no one gives a shit anymore about that. It's cool now and it's okay now to pick a side and be firmly entrenched on it. And I believe that that has to do with what's happening down south and with social media and just the climate we're in now. which also you hear about things on social media. Like, we would never know about someone running in Halifax that quit because they were caught in a racist diatribe 20 years ago. We wouldn't have heard that 10 years ago. It just would have been local news. But now we're hearing about it. So I think it's just a culmination of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I will agree with you on I agree with you on every point except that when the liberals are pushing things out on social media, it tends not to be fake. More often than not, we know that the conservatives are playing a dirty game on social media. I mean, if you read that Twitter thread that analyzed all the anti-Trudeau hashtags, one of them in particular, the Trudeau Must Go hashtag, originated from one bot in the United States, and it went viral everywhere. And so when people like Linda Frum, the senator, the good senator who has a lousy attendance record in the Senate, but is a conservative, trashes what happened yesterday when President Obama endorsed the Liberals and Justin Trudeau for re-election and calls that foreign interference, it's a little bit of crocodile tears because their party is literally running fake news and promoting fake news in any way, shape, or form to mislead Canadians. And I will say, as a partisan, I'm finding this very exhausting, this campaign. Mm-hmm. If I feel exhausted and demoralized, and I am going out, by the way, almost every night in my riding with the candidate, Karen McCrimmon, Kanata Carlton, she was elected in 2015, she's running again. We have a conservative candidate who has not shown up to any debates save one. And even then, she just read from her talking points. She's friends with Faith Goldie. She's a runaway from the media. She's nowhere to be seen. And Karen's up by 0.7%. And I feel exhausted and tired and frustrated when I go on social media and it's a literal grab bag of hate towards the prime minister and misinformation. And even last night in my own mailbox, forget social media, I get the handout that is a blatant lie about the Liberals, 50% primary residence tax, which was not even a policy proposal. It was put forward by Ontario caucus based on what they were hearing, but has no ream of truth to it. It has no place in the platform of the Liberal Party. It's literal fake news. And that's what I went home to from the conservative candidate in my riding. So if I'm exhausted and I'm engaged in the process, I can't imagine what the candidates are feeling or the leader is feeling, or even Canadians that just barely tune in. I would be exhausted. Man, I would just tune right out. So I hope that our voter turnout is better than what I expect it to be.
Well, the thing that I find weird is there used to be some shame to lying in politics. Like, if you were found out to have lied about something, blatantly lied and made that part of your platform, you were shamed for that. And it was considered unacceptable. But I totally agree with Mike. I think this is the Trump effect, which is awful. Like, I thought we were smarter than to go that way. And I also thought Canadian voters were smarter than to fall for it, because we're watching what's going on in the States and how much of it is complete bullshit. And this Obama thing, really? He's a private citizen. He can endorse who he likes. How is it foreign interference when Scheer's got American, operatives working for him and advising him?
I know.
It's just a bizarre, imagine if Obama had actually come out and campaigned with him. This thing, of course, I bet he wouldn't, because he's going to be asked the question, were you okay with the blackface? Did you see the one tweet? I think, Mike, you sent it to me.
Are we sure it's Obama? I'm sorry, that was hilarious. you have to be able to laugh at yourself.
That was really funny. Cam, I can't imagine how stressful it is for you. I have a member of my family who's out every day knocking on doors, and he's finding the same thing. He's actually completely demoralized and depressed, and he just has had it. He's over it. And I am biting my fingers till they bleed because I'm so terrified about a sheer minority. But having said that, let's keep one thing in mind. Even if progressives are waffling between the Liberals and the NDP, they're not going to Scheer. So the majority of Canadians don't like Scheer. So I'm going to take some comfort in that. And even if it's a conservative minority, I do think both Trudeau and Singh and May can argue quite credibly, and I think it will sell to most Canadians, that none of us wanted this guy here. So we're going to cooperate and we're going to make sure this government isn't around for very long. The only the fly in the ointment, of course, is the Bloc. Like, if the Bloc, because of Bill 21, opts to, you know, support the Conservatives in a minority situation, then we got a problem. And the Bloc apparently is surging in Quebec right now. The Bloc and the NDP.
They are.
So no one is more surprised to me than me that the NDP is doing well in Quebec. Like, I did not see that coming.
Well,
like,
they're not really doing that. Let's be clear. They're not doing that good in Quebec. I'm looking at a poll right now from Abacus that has them at 6%. So,
oh, good. And, I was hearing that they were coming up in Quebec.
No, I'm looking at an Abacus poll from last night.
How's the Bloc doing?
I'll read it to you. So this is I'm lucky because Abacus, one of the industry associations of which I'm on the board of, has Abacus as a provider or a consultant, so to speak, and we work with them on different research projects. So I have an internal poll, their tracking poll from last night, October 16th. And it says, I'll read it, Atlantic Canada, Liberal 38, Conservative 32, NDP 16, Green 10. In Quebec, it's 41% Liberal, 15% Conservative, 6% NDP, 8% Green, 25% Bloc. Ontario, it's 43% Liberal, 32% Conservative, 16% NDP, 6% Green. Saskatchewan and Manitoba, Liberals 29, Conservatives 42, NDP 24, Green 4. Alberta, as no great surprise, Liberals 14, Conservatives 61, NDP 22, Green 1. Oh, and the PPC clocks in at 2%. And in BC, it's like a dogfight, 32% Liberal, 34% Conservative, 26% NDP, 6% Green. For a national total of ballots with a 37%, or sorry, a national polling average of 37% for the Liberals, 32% Conservative, 16% NDP, 6% Green, 6% Bloc, 2% PPC. So I don't know what it means. I mean,
but maybe they'll pull it out. Maybe
they'll pull out a slim.
Yeah, maybe they'll get a minority. Like, yeah. Please let that happen.
Look, I'll say this. I personally would not really want a coalition with the NDP. And I frankly don't think that they would agree to a coalition. I think they might agree to a confidence and supply agreement. But I
can't.
Let
me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, sorry to interrupt. What are the main sticking points between the NDP and the Liberal government? What are the main sticking points that they would need to agree upon to form a coalition?
So I think number one, you're
pipeline.
Yeah. Number
indigenous rights.
No, you know what? Look, as an aside, I need to say the NDP has got it completely wrong on indigenous reconciliation. And Jagmeet Singh has run around the country pledging money to deal, for example,
I'm asking you what the sticking points are.
Yeah. Well, that's right? A sticking point, saying that we've done nothing on indigenous reconciliation when in fact, we've done more than any other government previously and have more money committed for...
Okay, but what if Jagmeet says, I want you to do more on Indigenous reconciliation and I want you to cancel the pipeline and those are my sticking points, why doesn't Trudeau just go, sure?
I wouldn't cancel the pipeline. We need it. It's an economic argument.
You know how he could get himself some cover on the pipeline? He could put it on Jason Kenney. I don't know why he doesn't do that. Look, I'm going to put this pipeline on hold until your premier agrees to something on carbon. And the NDP would back him up on that. And then once Jason, and put it all on Jason Kenney. This pipeline isn't getting built because you won't come to the table on carbon. Like,
so
I don't know why he doesn't
those
do
two,
that.
Other
get
than
it all
those sticking
on him.
Points, what is it?
I think the other one
points.
Would be electoral reform and Senate reform.
So
electoral reform. Here's the thing, though. You know, one thing that gets missed, the NDP loves to, the NDP loves to trash the Liberals on electoral reform. The reality is they didn't have a majority on the electoral reform committee that was established. And the NDP and the Greens and the Bloc and every member that was on that committee were instructed to come back with a recommendation on one system. And they didn't do that. And so if we're going to be held hostage for proportional representation, then tell us what kind of proportional representation is on offer. Don't
then
just
that's fine.
But... I don't
know. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what happened in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happened in the past. You look at the sticking points. You look at the sticking points, the Liberals can say, yeah, let's do that. Then not a problem. Like, I don't think anyone – do you really think Trudeau's going to have a problem with electoral reform and doing more for Indigenous people? No, he's going to say, let's do it. So then I don't see a reason why this coalition –
Especially because it came so – yeah.
Yeah, why can't it work?
Well, look,
I think it can work, and I think it'll be great government for Canada. Yeah. It'll be a progressive government, and I think what's his alternative? He's going to say, no, sorry, not doing that, and then he's out? I really hope that it happens.
The biggest critique on the Liberals is that they campaign left and they govern center, so it'll just force the Liberals to govern left the way they campaign. I see no problem with it.
So what I would say, and I'm alone, you know, among, you know, kudos to the Green candidate, by the way, in Edmonton Strathcona, who dropped out of the race and endorsed the NDP, who are running second to the Conservative candidate in Edmonton Strathcona. Well done. But, you know, I would say what I say to everybody. I'd prefer you vote Liberal, but for God's sake, look at 338.com and look at the ridings where the Liberals are running first or second, again, in a tight race with the Conservatives, and look at the ridings that are running first or second NDP Conservative in a close race, and vote strategically to stop the Conservative candidate. And go to votewell.ca if you are really unsure of what to do. Votewell.ca is a strategic voting website that tells you how to vote. But, you know, I have to say this. Mike, I don't disagree that it can't work. I think that the problem with the NDP is that, as I see it, is a lot of times they turn more vitriol on the Liberals than they do on the Conservatives. And we saw that over 10 years.
Not in this situation.
Well,
that's because of that's because they've got to get Liberal voters, right? It's a totally different situation on October 22nd.
Yeah, but the thing is, right now they need to be saying vote strategically.
Voters, so they attack Liberals to get those voters.
But right now,
if you're talking about having a say in how the country is governed, I think you're not going to see them attacking Liberals anymore.
Well, but the thing is, what I'm saying is, it would be helpful. And I mean, look. One of the pluses that we are told about proportional representation is it forces cooperation, and people would be less willing to trash their opponents and more willing to kind of take risks and support each other. Well, if you want proportional representation and you want a progressive government and you believe that proportional representation begets good government, then I think that the leaders who are on the progressive side, and those include Trudeau and Singh and possibly Elizabeth May, although she is completely out of her gourd when it comes to women's right to choose and other issues, now would be a great time to say vote strategically. Show Canadians what this purported better politics is about with proportional representation by asking people today to vote strategically according to what Vote Well is saying the competitions are nationwide. It may mean that the NDP wins less seats. It may mean that the Liberals win more seats or vice versa. But at the end of the day, if it begets better government, then I hope that the leaders will do what's right. So yes, quit trashing each other. But if we're going to have to work together on the 22nd, one way to build goodwill is to go into the final weekend and say, our biggest priority right now is not to trash each other. It's to stop the Conservatives from forming government. And here's how you do it. But none of them will do it because it takes courage and politics is selfish.
Right. But the other thing is, Cameron, everybody's in it to win it.
Right.
Like, you're not going to run so that you can say, hey, you know what? Don't vote for me. Vote for this guy. So that this guy is stopped. Like, everybody is in it to win it. So I don't...
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. And this is how parties make breakthroughs, where people decide, okay, even though I voted for this party in the past, this party has disappointed me, I'm going this way. That's the way people, you know, that's how Bob Rae's NDP made a breakthrough. I agree with you. This election seems like not the election to do that. Like, I'm telling my own family members to vote strategically, but you can't blame people for campaigning to win. Like, Singh wants to form the official opposition. So
no, Singh wants to be government.
Well, whatever the case is, you're in it to win it. You're not in it so that you can encourage people to vote for your opponent.
All right. Fair enough.
And I really do think, I hear what you're saying, that they often attack Liberal voters, but that's pretty obvious why, because like Liberal voters, they're not going to get Conservative voters. So what with the two main parties, the only two parties that have ever governed Canada, they're obviously going to attack the Liberals because they want to get those voters. But like I said, October 22nd, they're in a totally different situation. They're in power essentially then if they form a coalition with the Liberals. And I think you'll see, so if it happens, please let it happen. I think you'll see some really great progressive government, which is what the majority of Canadians want, right? If you look at the popular vote. So anyway, I'm hopeful, but I'm also losing my shit.
All right, well, let's
freaking out.
Let's do two quick things. Let's do two quick things here very quickly then. Obviously, if I say we're going to do two quick things very quickly, talk about redundant. Okay, good. Number one, how is the effect of the Obama endorsement, Mike? Is it going to have an impact moving votes, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Leanne?
No, it's cool. It's cool, but no.
Okay.
You know what would have moved, could have moved votes, I think? And I wish it had happened. If Trump, if Trump endorsed Scheer and then started...
Still could happen. Trudeau, still could happen.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of a way to spur it. Like, how can we make that happen? If he started shitting on Trudeau and endorsing Scheer, I actually think that would hurt him because he's so despised in Canada. I think Obama, I think it's an even wash. There's lots of people who have a lot of respect for Obama, but maybe don't love Trudeau. And I think a lot of eyebrows are raised, like with really, okay, you're all right with the blackface. Interesting. But I was wondering, would it have made a difference if he'd actually come out to an event with him? Who knows? Maybe it would have.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe he still will.
I think it's kind of, I don't think he will. I think he would think it was improper. Anyway, I think it's kind of an even wash. I don't think it will change anyone's mind one way or the other. But a Trump endorsement of Scheer, and if Trump started shitting on Trudeau right now, God, I wish he would. I think that could move things. So how can we make that happen?
Just goad him.
Like, how can we get it? Like, how? Let's get somebody to goad him.
I guarantee you Trump doesn't read his mentions, so you're not gonna get him on Twitter. People have made up their mind already.
Sometimes he does because he blocks people. Anyway.
People have made up their mind already.
Yeah, I agree. Now it's just the ballot being counted. So let's talk about Monday night. I won't get you guys to do seat projections, but I'm going to ask you guys to give us your predictions of who is winning and who wins Monday night. And you know what? Hey, we're not going to hold anybody to anything. So go for it. Mike, you first.
I'll call the Liberals to win.
Majority or minority?
I mean, I know people that are a lot smarter than me that think majority, but I'll go with minority.
Okay. Leanne?
Wow, really? The people are thinking a Liberal majority right now? You know, I have heard that right now it's 133 to 133 in terms of Liberal versus Conservative projected seats. I want to believe that the Liberals will squeak forward because people are going to be freaked out this weekend. So I'm going to say Liberals 135, Conservatives 133. So like the skinniest, slimmest of Liberal minorities. And also it could easily just go the other way and a very slim Conservative minority.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
Well, take it into the ballot box.
I've heard people saying that Scheer's walking around talking like he's going to get a majority.
Yeah.
Conservatives are saying
their internal polling is suggesting a thin Tory majority, which I almost passed out when I heard that.
Well, no, he's going around now basically saying your options are a liberal minority with a coalition with the NDP or a conservative majority. And he's saying conservative majority because he doesn't have a coalition. So he knows if he gets a minority, he's not going to be able to govern. He knows that.
So I would just, my prediction is, and I'm going to hedge a little, I'm going to say it's either going to be Leanne's or it's going to be a slim Liberal majority. That being said, what encourages me, and I think a few pods ago, I said it could either be like 1972 when the Liberals eked out a two-seat minority, or 97 where they won a very bare majority in the House of Commons under Crutcher. And so we'll see what happens Monday night. I agree, though, it could go either way with the Conservatives. What encourages me is the advanced polling turnout seemed to be favoring the Liberals. I think their ground game is much better than it used to be. Much, much, much better. And to that point, I think the Conservatives have lost that edge. Their fundraising numbers are strong. We'll talk, you know, in the next segment here with Carlene and kind of get a sense of how they're feeling. Yeah. They're obviously going to spin, and I'm totally prepared for that. But, you know, I have a good feeling. And I think, Leanne, you know, to your point, what I would say to voters.
Please make it be true.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Do not rely on the polls. Get your ass to a polling booth and check the box for your Liberal candidate if they're in a 1-2 race with the Conservatives or a progressive option if it's a 1-2 race between the NDP and the Conservatives. For God's sake, don't screw this up, Canada, because otherwise it's 10 years of abject misery. Or sorry, we roll back 4 years of progress after 10 years of abject misery in the country. So please, God, do not get to the polling station. And if you don't know where your polling station is, elections.ca, figure it out. And that, on that happy note...
Can I add something real quick?
You sure can.
After you figure out who you want to vote for, you should Google the life of Elijah Cummings. He died today, and that's super sad.
I know. He was, I'm so sad. Yeah, he's only 68.
And he was serving. I don't know what happened. It doesn't matter, but he was a hero. So, you know.
He was also Cummings. The chairman of the Oversight Committee and was playing a key role in the impeachment review, or I guess impeachment inquiries about the president. Nothing nefarious, by the way, about that. By the way, did you see the garbage? Sorry, not the garbage tweet. The very nice tweet that Trump wrote about Elijah Cummings.
Well, he didn't.
Which he obviously did not write.
Of course not. I mean, 3 months ago he was saying he was a racist from a rat infested hellhole.
I know. You can always tell the ones that he doesn't write because there's no spelling mistakes, no exclamation marks, and
it
no random capitalization.
It goes further than that, though. The tweets Trump writes say "sent from my Android device," and then the ones he doesn't write say "sent from my iPhone."
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you look on the metadata of it, so whoever's like does have his password has an iPhone, and Trump has an Android.
You know what?
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe it's the Chinese or the Russians that are typing out that nice statement. I mean, I think
or Hillary Clinton.
Somebody.
It'll be funny when they give him his phone back. And he starts, you know, like he did with McCain, and he starts, you know, tweeting out insults about the man as the body is still warm, right?
That's well, I did it to McCain. Cokie Roberts.
There was one pleasant tweet that was obviously not written by him. And then there was a series of insults as the man was being laid to rest. So,
Anyways, have a good night.
Okay.
Have a good election week. Get out and vote, and we'll be back next week.
All right. Goodbye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're back. Mike and Leanne, of course, will be back next week. And right now, as promised at the top of the show, we have Carlene Varian, who is a liberal strategist, obviously with the Liberal Party of Canada campaign. Welcome to the pod, Carlene.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, Carlene and I do know each other. She went on to bigger and better things, but we worked together for a time and always have a lot of time for her and her opinions and her judgment. So, Carlene, let's kick off. How's the campaign feel for you? Rough?
Well, I think campaigns are always rough on the mind and the body because they are long hours. Whether you are out in the field working on a campaign and knocking on doors, or whether you're in the war room working, you know, like dawn to dusk, pushing out content, they're hard on everybody and on everybody's families, and that's something that's actually universal across all parties. And so I am thinking of my compatriots in the other parties who are also counting down the days until we all get to the finish line at this point.
So 5 days, poll numbers are tight. President Obama endorsed the party yesterday. Do you think it is going to have any impact whatsoever? Is it a wash? Some people like the prime minister, other people like Obama, other people like Obama but dislike the prime minister. Do you think it's going to be a wash, or is it going to move some votes?
You know what I think it'll do? I mean, let me say this first. Any party strategist worth their weight in anything knows that the most important thing is voter contact and connecting with people yourself. And so I think the Liberal Party gets that and knows that that will always be more important than any endorsement from anybody that you get, no matter how beloved they are. That being said, I think that what the Obama endorsement will do is it will sort of, I think it's really good for morale, you know, within the central campaign, but also for all of the 338 candidates who are running for the Liberal Party across the country, for their volunteers and their campaign staff who has been working tirelessly. An endorsement like that is a real shot in the arm and is incredibly inspiring for your troops on the ground. And that impact is something that, while it can't be measured, I suspect will be significant. And then the second thing that I think that it will probably do is help to coalesce some of the progressive support and kind of bring it all closer to the Liberal Party. We're obviously at a point right now where we have three progressive parties running in the election and effectively one conservative party. And so we're seeing vote splits among progressives. We know that there are a lot of Canadians, in fact, a majority of Canadians, who want a progressive government. But that vote splitting that can happen can sometimes lead us to end up with a government that none of that majority of Canadians wants. And so, I think Justin Trudeau has had a very clear message that he's been hammering home for the last week or so, which is just being very direct about saying, look, we've got a choice to make between going back to the Harper years or moving forward with a Liberal government. Those are the two choices we have, and I'm asking you to support me. I think the Obama endorsement helps kind of serve as a reminder to progressives that they have a leader and a party that they can trust in Justin Trudeau to keep moving forward with progressive policy, and hopefully that helps ensure that the Liberal Party can count on the votes of progressives on Monday.
I think you are absolutely right about the shot in the arm for progressives, or at least for campaigners or volunteers or central on the Liberal campaign. I can tell you, as you know, I'm helping Karen McCrimmon out in Kanata Carlton, where she is in a bit of a dogfight with the woman we will not name because she's friends with Faith Goldie. But Karen is, in a bit of a tight fight. And I will say that, we have hit thousands and thousands of doors, and we've ID'd thousands and thousands of Liberals. But when you go online and you see kind of, the hate and smear machine against the party, against the prime minister, it wears on you. And I can't imagine, I said it earlier when Mike and Liam were on the pod, I can't imagine how people who are not as engaged as me and you and others are feeling just watching this election unfold. So that endorsement yesterday, yeah, it did feel really good. It was one of the first things that really made me smile after, a week and a half where it's just been a bloodbath. And I think too, it was kind of nice too, to see the NDP knocked off its feet a little bit as well. And to see that, one of the most progressive leaders to ever lead our neighbor to the south, and worldwide really, has full confidence and support in the prime minister and this government. I think that is a huge shot in the arm and a huge boon going into Monday.
Well, yeah, and I think, Canadians are taking notice of it because, Barack Obama didn't have to do that. No one, I don't think that anybody went to him and said, please, will you please do this for us? He has a long-standing and established and fairly publicly known relationship with Justin Trudeau that dates back to their time working together as leaders when President Obama was still in office. And the fact that he felt it was important enough to do what he could to tell Canadians, hey, I've got a lot of faith in this guy and you should too, I think does speak to Prime Minister Trudeau's global leadership on the world stage. And Canadians don't live in a vacuum. We are a country whose pop culture and current events sort of universe is shaped by events happening around the world as well. A lot of our content comes from the United States. And so we Canadians are people that see what's happening around the world. They are not blind to the fact that we are seeing a rising wave of populism that's rooted in oftentimes fear and hate and these kinds of things around the world. And I think that Canadians by and large don't want Canada to be pulled down into that same vortex as they've seen other countries pulled into it. And Barack Obama addressed that directly in the tweet by talking about how important it was at this particular time that Canada stick with a progressive leader and a progressive government, because it's increasingly going to be one of the lone voices on the world stage that has that philosophy.
So let's talk get out the vote. The Conservatives have generally been pretty good at getting their voters motivated to the polls, what have you. They seem to rely, obviously, on a more of a dwindling demographic, but that dwindling demographic is more often than not the first ones who are at the polling station and the first ones to dip into their wallets and give $20. How are you feeling about our data collection, our get out the vote apparatus, our fundraising numbers during the campaign and going into Monday? I think everybody's looking at the turnout numbers. I feel based on, I mean, and who am I, but I mean, if you look at some of the polls on that measured advance voter turnout, it looks pretty encouraging from a, if you're a liberal standpoint, mm-hmm. not enough to get complacent. Mm-hmm. But is that a blip? Is it accurate? What, you know, and whatever you yeah. can tell, but just, but on the get out the vote, I guess the Tories have always had the advantage, and I worry that that's going to be the case on election day.
Well, I mean, let me say this. It is no secret, and it should come as no surprise to anybody who's worked in Canadian politics for any amount of time, that the Conservatives have two things going for them. They have a universe of supporters who are firm and who they can count on through thick and thin, who will always be Conservative. It is a base that is passionate, that always turns out to vote, and that always donates money, more so than any other party in Canada. And they have that going for them. They also have the benefit of, as you said, a lot of individual donors who are committed to always supporting that cause. And of course, because the right has been united between the PCs and the Canadian Alliance for 10, 15 years now, they have a united right. I mean, the People's Party has not proven to be a real vote splitter on the right the way that some people thought it might have been. So they have those two things going for them. What I will say about the Liberal Party, though, that gives me a lot of optimism coming out of advance poll weekend and going into E-Day next Monday, is this. The Liberal Party has made tremendous advances in its infrastructure around fieldwork and ground game and investments in its technology to make it a real modern political party. Campaigns across the country are doing things now that are established best practices all in democracies all over the world, and that are we're really confident are going to yield results for us. Whether it's new, more effective ways to make contact with voters, using your volunteers to the best of your ability, all of this kind of thing. And so I have a lot of confidence in the Liberal ground game. I think that will work to our advantage this time. The advance polls are really something. I mean, Elections Canada confirmed, I think it was a couple of days ago, I think something like 4.7 million people voted in advance polls, which is an absolute outlier compared to past, historical results. Generally speaking, when more people are coming out to vote, that is a positive thing for progressives. Because it's usually people who are going to be supportive of progressive causes. You look at, for example, the results on university campuses. Elections Canada did special polls on campuses for students 2 weekends ago now, which was something that they piloted in 2015, but that they kind of scaled up to a full operation this time, and the results were unprecedented. And so if I'm a progressive, I'm feeling good about that, because I really doubt that many of those people were voting for a Conservative government. That being said, they could also be people supporting other progressive parties. But by and large, as we're on, looking at local campaigns and who our identified supporters were, and looking at who went out and voted on advance polls, we're feeling pretty good about the numbers. As you said, Cameron, I think, we can't afford to be complacent. There's still a lot of Liberals and voters that we got to go out and find on election day and get to the polls. But the advance polls, I think, were a huge shot in the arm and really motivating for us going into E-Day.
Well, awesome. I know you mentioned you were in Regina. There is a great candidate, by the way, Jordan Ames Sinclair, who is running against the mm-hmm. Conservative leader, Andrew Scheer. And that is a riding that, due to vote splitting, we have never really been able to, since 2004, to knock him out of his seat. But I think that we might have a good chance this time. Do you feel good about some ridings in Saskatchewan?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know this, your listeners might not know this, but I'm a born and raised Saskatchewanian. So I absolutely love coming home for election day. I try and do it as much as I can. So I'm out here now through till Monday, helping out in as many campaigns as I can. I think there's some really interesting races. The Liberal Party has an absolutely phenomenal candidate in the Northern Saskatchewan riding of Danesse, Mississippi, Churchill River. Her name is Chief Tammy Cook-Searson. She's the chief of the LaRange Indian Band up there, has done absolutely incredible work in her community around health, wellness, mental health, and just working with provincial and federal governments on reconciliation. She's a real star candidate. It was really impressive that the Liberals were able to recruit her. I'm watching that campaign very closely to see if she'll be able to pull off a win, and she'd be a great MP in Ottawa for Northern Saskatchewan, but also just as a representative of First Nations out here on the prairies. And then Jordan Ames Sinclair, as you mentioned, is just such an inspiring guy, and at such a young age, what he's been able to accomplish is extraordinary. I was watching a CBC Fifth Estate documentary last night on relationships between Indigenous peoples and local police in cities across Canada. He was featured quite prominently in it, and he just did an awesome job. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how Regina Capel is going to shake out on election day. I have to be honest with you. I think usually, as a rule, it's safe to expect that party leaders will hold their seats. But, you know, looking at the numbers now, we could very well be in another election in 18 months or 24 months. And if Jordan Ames Sinclair is committed to being a candidate in the next campaign as well, he could get to a point where he's given Andrew Scheer a real run for his money.
Well, I like hearing that. And last thing I'm going to ask you before we go, Carlene, you have worked now for 4 years, you know, in your job before you took leave to join the campaign. You've worked for the Liberals. What is your proudest moment as part of the government? What is your proudest achievement? I mean, there are many, I think, as a partisan. But if there's one thing that you can point to, what would you say, you know, that you as a staffer, as a Liberal, as a Canadian, are most proud of in the last 4 years?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. You're putting me on the spot here. There's so many things that I'm really proud of. But I think, I mean, I'm kind of going through different categories and ministries in my head here. But I think it wasn't so much a moment as it was an accomplishment. But getting NAFTA done was absolutely just, I mean, I cannot tell you how much work, and it's not about myself or my own work, but just the hundreds of public servants and the Liberal team, the ministers who were involved, Krista Freeland, Bill Morneau, Patty Hajdu, Ralph Goodale, all of these folks and their teams who worked honestly around the clock, all hours trying to get this thing done, working with an administration where, you know, there were some challenges in terms of unpredictability and just the hard work that it took to get it done. And the fact that we were able to work together as a team, you know, there was a real Team Canada approach to it. We had people like Brian Mulroney, like former Conservative leader Rona Ambrose, sitting around the table with us, working together with us to get through that. And Canadians as well, you know, labor unions and business leaders from companies who are big employers who had a lot, you know, to gain or lose from these NAFTA negotiations. It was such a unifying experience, and it was, you know, it was frightening at times, and it was a lot of work, but it was just, it made me feel very proud to be a Canadian when we got that deal done, because we accomplished it together as a country. You know, I think now we've got the deal signed, still has to be ratified by the states, but things are looking good. I think it's something we'll be talking about for years to come, and I'll always, you know, I'm very grateful to have some memories of playing a very small role in that along the way.
Awesome. Well, my friend, I wish you all the best for the country and for the party on Monday.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. You've done a fantastic job. Proud of you, proud of the party, and looking forward to a big win. Hopefully, knock on wood, on Monday.
You bet. This was a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of the pod, so it was cool to be on it. And let's do this again sometime.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Well, Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you so much to Carlene for calling in from the War Room, from Regina, where she's at right now until the election. Thanks, of course, to Mike and Leanne. As always, we will be back next week. In the meantime, folks, go to votewell.ca. If you do not want a conservative government, go to votewell.ca and decide how you're going to vote based on the strategic recommendations that are there. Look up your riding. But the most important thing, I don't care who you are or what party you represent, is to vote. We take for granted a lot of times the freedom that we have at the ballot box to make choices about who will lead our country. And whatever your politics, I encourage you all not to take for granted that advantage and to get out there on Monday. Polls will be open here in Ontario from 9 a.m. till 9:30 p.m. If you have questions about where you vote, elections.ca. And then we will see what Canadians say Monday night. So wish you all a very good weekend, a very good election day, and we will see you back here next week to talk about what you said. Take care. Bye for now.